Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 42 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. Among the cases in 9 communities were 22 in Anchorage, 5 in Fairbanks, and 1 in Ukiavik. The Department of Health and Social Services reported no new COVID-19 deaths or hospitalizations, with 42 confirmed virus patients currently hospitalized in the state and another 2 under investigation for the infection. The average percentage of daily positive tests over the last 2 weeks was 2.11%, and the statewide alert level remains high. Alaska's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ann Zink, assessed the statewide situation during a town hall meeting last night.
We've kind of been bouncing around between that 5-10 cases per 100,000. People average over 14-day periods. We just bounce right back into that high level.
There are over 4,000 active COVID-19 cases in the state, but Zink said transmission is fairly flat.
We're essentially one person's giving it to one additional person, so we're not kind of on a climb, but we've lost a little bit of that decline.
Zink said 4 state communities are seeing the most virus transmission.
The 4 regions that we're watching the closest right now are the Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and North Slope Borough region, with anywhere from 14 to 17 cases per 100,000.
Dr. Zink said the state is working to ensure those communities have adequate testing supplies and stressed the importance of testing early if you have any symptoms. Fairbanks area elementary schools are on track to return students to classrooms October 5th and middle school kids on October 19th. That was the decision by the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board at a meeting last night, despite conflicting testimony on the issue. As KUAC's Robin reports, the board did not reach consensus on returning high school students to classrooms.
Assistant Superintendent Kate LaPlante started the explanation of the K-6 plan.
The biggest change for the student day is that they would be in their learning pods, a smaller set of students who stay together the entire time. And a cohort at the elementary level is a group of learning pods that can walk to the cafeteria to get their lunch and walk back to their classrooms or go outside for an outside learning break.
The board heard testimony from teachers worried about moving from pod to pod to deliver instruction, possibly cross-contaminating the children. There was also testimony from parents worried about children bringing disease home, but more comments from parents wanting children to resume the social and learning benefits from going back to school. Superintendent Karen Gaborik explained the plans have built-in quarantine formulas if students contract COVID-19.
With the cohort model, we have 1 positive case. A cohort is approximately 35 students, so we're hopeful that we can keep it to 35 students who would need to be quarantined.
The October dates allow for the district school bus contractor, First Student, enough time to arrange drivers for 120 elementary routes. Dozens of staff members, teachers, parents, and even doctors have worked on the return to school plans, trying to fit puzzle pieces like working parents, school lunches, athletics, and the state's red, yellow, and green operational zones into the models. Air Force Representative Colonel Stuart Williamson says the change in school start times and bus times complicates life at Fort Wainwright and Eielson Air Force Base.
The military members, our typical duty day starts around 7:30. With the later start times, the concern is that may drive a before-school care issue for kids.
After lengthy debate on the elementary school model, the board quickly approved the model to return middle school students to the classrooms on October 19th. In that plan, only half the students will go to school on any given day, spending the other days learning from home. High schools, however, have much larger student bodies, so the administration developed plans to have only a quarter of the kids in the building at a time. Option 1 would have students in person 1 day a week and learn remotely on the other 4 days. Option 2 continues remote learning with nobody going to the classroom. But issues of social and emotional development of students, whether there is enough PPE for staff, and if students could comply with hygiene and physical distancing requirements complicated the board's debate. They postponed any high school plan and will take it up at the October 6th board meeting. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The pandemic forced shift to more online education may fundamentally change the way students access the University of Alaska system. Speaking during a press conference yesterday, Interim UA President Pat Pitney said expanded distance delivery options will likely continue after the pandemic.
I think post-COVID, we definitely are going to be different than we were pre-COVID. I think people see some advantages to the offerings.
Pitney said the university has fared well during the pandemic because it has a history of offering distance delivery classes. That's been taken to a new level over the last 6 months, and UA recently put 5 Alaska-specific courses on the nationwide university platform edX, where Pitney sees longer-term potential.
It provides people the opportunity to access our institutions. I do think we will remain focused on Alaska, will remain focused on the needs in our regional areas.
While noting the potential for online growth, Pitney emphasized that the traditional on-campus educational experience is not going away.
Yes, we have a great opportunity to take advantage of where we are and build on that post-COVID. I do think there will continue to be the need for the learning community to come together.
Pitney says students will likely increasingly have a hybrid experience, taking some courses in person on campus and others online. Like many events, Fairbanks Equinox Marathon is canceled this year, but many people are running the 26.2-mile course anyway, creating a trespass issue as short sections of the race trail on Esther Dome cross private property and are only legally usable during the actual race. Interior Trails Preservation Coalition president and past Equinox Marathon champion and race record holder Stan Justice has long worked to secure a year-round, publicly accessible alternative route. Justice says this year's unusual circumstances prompted recent action by the State Department of Natural Resources.
We've had an application in with DNR to put a trail along the section line. Oh, it's been like 5 years that they've sat on that application. And we told them that this was going to be happening, that people would want to run the race and there'd be no legal way for them to do it. And so I asked if we could just brush it out, you know, not cut down the mineral soil, just cut the brush, clip off any trip hazards as much as we could. And they agreed.
Justice says the land's owner, the Alaska Ski Corporation, could challenge the DNR's decision in court. But in the meantime, runners have a way to legally be on the contested portion of the Equinox course.
People that are trying to keep a string of doing the Equinox every year, those people are probably diehards. They're not going to let a little pandemic get in their way.
They're going to be out there some way, shape, or form trying to complete it.
Equinox Marathon race director Stacy Fisk underscores that the official race, which was scheduled to happen this Saturday, remains canceled and that anybody who runs the course is doing so at their own risk. Fisk, who operates a local running store, says she's heard from a fair number of people running the Equinox course.
Some people are going to be going out there basically, you know, on the day of that it was supposed to be. And I've heard people have been out there already earlier this year. And just, you know, the next 2 weeks, people are just going to be trying to run it or hike it, you know, unofficially.
Fisk says it's only the second time in the Equinox Marathon's 57-year history that the race has been canceled. The other time was in 1992 when record early season snows blanketed the trail. A group of runners unofficially ran the course that year, too. I'm Dan Bross.